The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You've joined We the People Radio. Oh, let's see. Our guest doesn't have a call-in number, but we'll call her. Okay, we're starting off just like we usually do.
Heck yeah.
My telephone's on. The text messages are coming in.
We'll get organized later.
The chaos is all around us. Hey, so you can find all of our information, because that's actually accurate and ready and updated, on wethepeopleradio.us. And we've got kind of an interesting assortment today, two things that don't actually go together. But we have author Edwin Black, who's going to be calling in here momentarily. At least that's the rumor. He called us an hour ago. We had a little time zone issue. He could only spend a few minutes with us, but I had requested an interview with him like a year ago. And so all of a sudden the opportunity came available, so we'll take it. And then we're going to spend the balance of the time with Lauren Price from Veteran Warriors out of Florida. So that'll be super fun. Different, totally different topics. Mr. Black is a best-selling author, and seriously, this guy, I mean, I think the only year he missed writing a book, let's see, was 2000 and 2000. Nope, he did one in three. 2000.
He's got over a million books in print.
Yeah, because yeah,
he's
look,
been kind of busy.
It's like 2001, 2003, 4, 6, 8, 9, another one in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 12, 13, and he's working on another one. Imagine that.
And that's in between the editorials and all the other things he writes.
I know it. He just had a ton of stuff, but I had read, and it was a year ago. I have not, I didn't have a chance to go back when his guy shot me a message today and said he's going to call you today. I was like, oh no. He writes amazing stuff. Well, Financing the Flames, I think it might have been an article about that. It was The War Against the Weak, IBM and the Holocaust. He does a lot of that kind of thing. Financing the Flames, here's a little clip from it. How tax-exempt and public money fuel a culture of confrontation and terrorism in Israel. Pulls the cover off the robust use of U.S. tax-exempt, tax-subsidized, and public monies to format foment agitation, systematically destabilize Israel defense forces, and finance terrorists. I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. So I don't know what his new book is, and we're going to ask him if, in fact, he's calling. So I guess we should do our little pleasantries here. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
Sorry, Bob. Yeah, go ahead. Could you answer the phone and talk on the radio, please? It's kind of like asking somebody a question when their mouth is full. So anyway, who have we, Bob?
That would be Edwin Black.
Right on. Well, I just told everybody what I had about him on the website. Welcome, Mr. Black.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was so surprised because I had written, I think it was actually the end of 2014, and then whoever does your email had written back and said, well, let's try 2015. Well, no, it's 2016. So I forget what article I had read. It was something great, and I thought, we got to get that guy on. So I guess you're working on another book, because you do one or two every year, for heaven's sakes.
Busy. Right.
Like a busy guy. Does your family ever see you?
Yes, they do, usually while I'm traveling.
There you go.
In fact, if you wanted to see my my travel and lecture schedule, I do about 200 lectures a year. You could go to edwinblack.com, and on that website, on the left-hand side, there's a link to my events 2016.
I'm so. On it now, and you're all over the place.
I am. So, how are you today?
We are super. And so we had no needs as far as what we wanted to hear from you. We wanted you to promote your book.
Yeah, I'm curious what you're working on.
Yeah, and talk about what it is you do, because I thought, gosh, I wonder how many people. I just didn't want you to be a hidden resource that people didn't hear of.
Well, I've published 11 or 12 bestsellers. IBM and the Holocaust, Banking on Baghdad, War Against the Weak on Eugenics, The Farhood on the Arab-Nazi Alliance in the Holocaust, internal combustion on the history of energy and our unnecessary addiction to oil, the transfer agreement, British Petroleum and the Red Line Agreement, which where I had exclusive access to the corporate archives of British Petroleum and detailed the West secret pact to take over Mideast oil. And right now I'm working on a another book involving the Ottoman Empire and the history of the Middle East, with a focus specifically on Israel. And I take this history all the way back to 4 billion years to the formation of the continents. So I explain how Israel was a land in between the two breakaway continents of Asia and Africa. It's in between. And then I discussed the entire history of the Ottoman Empire with respect to Israel and its development, and many of the fallacies which are today misunderstood about Israel and its history. That's what I'm working on right now. So it involves a lot of Turkish resources and Jewish resources, German resources, American diplomatic papers, etc.
Things that are super, super current right now.
Yes, they are, because we're seeing an area that cannot be reconciled as a result of historic legacies of hate. And so while peace is not possible in our time or in the time of your children, non-belligerency is, and peaceful coexistence may be possible. But to do that, first we have to confront the truth about our history before we can attempt to remedy our future. And the history, of course, is that the land in question now is the former Turkish colonies, which are now disputed, which were taken after World War I by the world community after many genocides by the Turks against Armenians, Bulgarians, and many others, is part of an effort to give self-determination. And lo and behold, the Arabs were supposed to get Syria, and the Jews were supposed to get a Jewish Palestine. And going back, you need to look at text to the Pact of Umar in 700. It was decided that the Jews would be, and the Christians would be dhimmis and never be allowed to be equals within the Arab midst. And as a result of that, a couple of things happened. One, France blocked the declaration of an Arab state in Syria after World War I, despite the fact that the Arabs were to get one under King Faisal. It actually existed briefly. And two, before the Jewish Palestine could be gone into effect under League of Nations mandate, Great Britain chopped off 80% of it and created a brand new country out of this Turkish territory, and the name of that country was Jordan. At that time, it was known as Transjordan. So when Syria blocked the existence of Arab, when France blocked the emergence of Arab Syria, they gave Iraq to Faisal. They declared him king. His brother was made the king of Transjordan, taken from Jewish Palestine. But neither of these guys were from Iraq or Jordan. They were both Hashemites from the Arabian Peninsula who were being rewarded for their attacking of the trains during the Lawrence of Arabia period, which you've all seen in the film. So this is part of what I'm investigating and tracking and just laying out the history as opposed to the arguments.
You know, in light of a lot of what you just said, and the fact that so much of that has happened before a lot of folks that are involved in this were even born, what do you think the chances of a peaceful solution what chance is there of a peaceful solution? I mean, when it comes to,
there is,
you know,
a chance for a peaceful solution in our lifetime, but there's no chance of peace. In other words, we've already got a peaceful solution between Jordan and Israel, mm-hmm. and Egypt and Israel. You wouldn't call it a genuine peace like we have with Germany or Japan or even with Turkey. What we have is non-belligerency and peaceful coexistence. But remember, the lousiest peace is better than the best war. In order to achieve peace, historically we are shown that the only way to accomplish this with the current players is to stop paying for non-peace. Right now, Israel is exporting technology, inventions, food, tourism, intellectual property, art, culture. Saudi Arabia is exporting oil. Egypt is exporting tourism. But the main product that the Palestinian Authority is exporting is terrorism. And we're paying for it. I wrote a recent book. My last book was called Financing the Flames. Every time somebody commits a knife attack or a mass murder or blows up a bus in Israel, they go on official Palestinian Authority salary. And the more people they kill, the more people, the more money they make monthly. And this money comes out of taxpayers in the United States, the EU, Great Britain. It's about 16% of the Palestinian budget. It's the best wages you can make. And we're paying for this. We're paying for all the incitement, all of the violence. So if we stop paying for it, which could come about because oil is down to $25 to $35 a barrel, depending upon which oil you're talking about. And oil will soon not be the dry, could soon fall from the number one determinant of Middle East politics. If we just stop funding these bad programs and let people work it out, remember, 20% of Israel are Arabs, citizens. Some 30,000 Palestinians a day go to work in jobs in Israel, in the medical in industry, transportation, tourism. That's ground zero for coexistence, where Jew and Arab can work together in a factory, in a hotel, in a high-tech company, in a studio, in the normal activities of life. This is ground zero, and this is indeed the this is indeed where peace is made. These are the true peace warriors. But when there's a kleptocracy in the Middle East, mm-hmm. where people are paid enormous amounts of money to not participate in peace, well, then that's like asking Saudi Arabia to stop pumping oil. That's what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So until Americans become wise about how their money is being spent, we will never see peace in the Middle East. But once they do, once they let the primary parties work together between themselves, it is possible to have peaceful coexistence.
How do you see Russia's new role in Syria? And you know, it's not going to stop there. But where do you see that going?
It's not a new role, it's a vastly enhanced role, and that's because Syria is now falling apart, it's completely fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard about one or two or three or four of these militias and fighting groups. There are many, many more. There could be as many as 10 just in Latakia. Different groups, different flags, different emblems, different philosophies, different loyalties. They were endangering the Russian naval base, which Russia needs on the Mediterranean. Russia wants to project power in the Middle East as it once did. We have abdicated the stage. When America abdicates the stage, history has shown that the world ends up in chaos. Remember, we didn't enter World War One until the very end. And once we did, World War One ended. We didn't enter World War Two until we were forced to by the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And we declared war on Japan, and as a result of that, the Germans declared war on us. And once we did, World War II was brought to an end, not completely through our efforts, but in large part with the Russians on the east, but with us on the west, and of course with other groups, the British and the Free French. When America abdicates the stage, for whatever reason, whether because we're tired of being involved in overseas entanglements, whether we want to focus more on home, whether we just have bad leadership, when we abdicate the stage, the proscenium arch falls down and the seats spontaneously combust. That's the reality, because there are so many groups in the world that are still tribal, mm-hmm. that are still highly nationalistic, that is still ethnically based. And America is the melting pot that wants to take the best of all of these countries and form one great nation. We've done a pretty flawed job of that over the years. You know, the Constitution is a very flawed instrument. When the Constitution was written, most Americans were not allowed to vote. Women were not allowed to vote. Blacks were not allowed to vote. Most of the inhabitants of the United States colonies were not allowed to vote. And we've been perfecting that. In the last century, women got to vote. Blacks got to vote. The Constitution is getting, and our circle of entitlement is getting better and better, broader and broader. More people are being able to participate in our society. So we have taken the best of the planet and made America over some many, many struggles of injustice that we've had against America, against Native Americans and Japanese and Africans and many, many others. We have taken the best, and of course, in order to take the best, we've had to overcome the worst. And where have we inherited the worst? From the contributions made from all over Earth, where people have come, and they've not parked their prejudices at the shore. As a result of bringing prejudice in, it takes America that much longer to overcome the prejudices which are imported into our nation by many other theories of primacy and supremacy. What our country wants is equality. Equality for all. And in the current discussion about migration, what's important is not where a person is from, but whether a person believes in tolerance, whether a person believes in live and let live. These are the driving factors, not the color of the scarf, not the color of the skin, not the color of the flag from which they fled, but their ability to come and live with their neighbors in peaceful coexistence and equality. When my parents came to this country after the Holocaust in World War II, they came to live and to thrive and to be part of a nation. When many other groups came, all the waves wanted to live in this country and participate in the country without carving out enclaves, even though there were many, cultural enclaves for the Italians, the Irish, the Chinese, etc. Above that was the determination that they were part of a country. They could both retain their national and ethnic character and be part of a great, thriving America. So we have been able to take the best of the world, from all the continents, from all the traditions, from all the tribes, and attempt to get past, weed out the prejudices, and try to emphasize the perfections.
So how do you explain in the last, let's just say the last 10 years, the the, I don't know, almost uprising that's happening in this country against our government, against the establishment. With all that being said, it just seems like a lot of people that come over here now aren't coming over here to assimilate, aren't coming over here to enjoy our way of life.
They want to carve out their niche and have...
Yeah, they want to bring...
Can't allow... Well, you've asked a couple of different questions. What has caused the unrest in the American electorate? One is the diversification of forms of communication. We don't have four networks anymore.
Right.
We probably have 400 video platforms that people can view. People don't have just four newspapers or one or two within their city or three or four nationally that they care about. There are thousands. They can view them on their phones. They don't have to buy them. We have the internet. We have WordPress. We have some very dubious forms of social media such as Twitter and Facebook, which are Promethean. Every Twitter and Facebook is kind of like fire. It can bring great benefits to mankind, and by the same token, it can bring a great curse to the mankind. It can warm you, and it can burn you. But the result is more people can express themselves, can talk to each other. A guy in a basement in Brooklyn or Paris or Warsaw can put a piece of information out that'll instantly get to people on the other side of the planet. So more people are more informed today than they were 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when the internet was still in some of its formative stages. Long before social media came on the scene. And as a result of that, people can now share their anxieties, their upset, their outrage. What's important here, and this is really important, is we can't just talk to ourselves. By talking to yourself, to your circle, to those who agree with you, you are inevitably reinforcing all the stereotypes downward, and you don't have the free exchange of ideas. And all the self-certification that comes from people talking to each other in their own circle just means that there's no room for a different opinion, and without a different opinion knocking at your door, you can't determine whether you need to allow that differing opinion in. And now people have discovered that they're voting for people who don't represent them, who say one thing at high noon and who make another secret deal at midnight after we've gone to sleep and laws are reconciled and put in contrary to what they say. Deals are made. Principles are lost. Everybody's got an agenda. And what we see now is that the people become agitated with the candidates the moment they see their lips move. That's the moment.
Yeah. True.
When they see their lips move, they know they're being played. Because scripted politicians, we've had them. And people are now aware that scripted politicians are servants of the multimillionaire forces behind them that are giving tens of millions of dollars. When you take tens of millions of dollars, you owe something. So people are going with the outsiders, like the Ben Carsons, the Bernie Sanders, the Donald Trumps, the Cruises, and they're doing this because they're now exercising their free will to choose. They don't need to choose just ABC or CNN. They can go to Vice on the internet. They can go to this station that we're speaking on. They can go to 1,000 different places, and when they're done with that 1,000, they can go to a new 1,000. And as long as they're willing to listen to some other idea, they can form an independent conclusion, and they can validate their worst fears. And their worst fears are that our system is broken. It's the best system on planet Earth. It's the best system, but we want it better, and it won't get better until change comes to this country. People have wanted change. They've spoken of change, but they've been unable to achieve change. And now we may be on the cusp of change in energy, in social policy, in peaceful coexistence with each other, in all sorts of reforms that this world needs.
And
I got
just
one more question.
It's really funny. I just sent somebody a message, and I said, I know he's going to have to go suddenly. So we're like, I don't know when this is happening. You know, I was looking at your most recent book, The Financing the Flames, and you were talking about charitable organizations like Ford Foundation, George Soros, Open Society, and that kind of thing. I wanted to make sure.
Well, the New Israel Fund.
Yep. I was
the George Soros, but many other groups. Yes, go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, you know, that is something that a lot of our audience would know about, and I wanted to you to give them you know, whatever information you'd like to about that, because I think that's a
we need a complete reform in the way taxpayers are paying for political activities against the will of what people really desire. A charitable organization should be engaged in charitable activities. They should open soup kitchens. They should feed the homeless. They should struggle for equality. They should struggle for individual justice. They should not agitate to overthrow the accepted order of equality and justice for all people. They should not try to be involved in a nation-making. They should not be sponsoring terrorism. They should not be sponsoring boycotts against our allies. And so we need, it isn't that you're not allowed to boycott. Anyone can boycott. If you've got 25 cents in your pocket, you can decide where to put that 25 cents. But taxpayers don't have to foot the bill. And right now, there is such a surge of rewriting of history, of fake history, of fake narratives. This idea that the Palestinians are somehow connected to the Philistines because the word Palestine is Palestine, it's from Philistines. But the Philistines were from the 13th century, and they fought against Ramses III in Egypt. They have nothing to do with the Islamic conquest of the Middle East in the 7th century, which replaced the Eurasians and with Arabs. That's a different idea. And the idea that that the Germans in Southwest Africa had a heroic struggle against the Herero or the Namibians, what we call now Namibia, and they've got all these crusades and statuary. This was a war of genocide fought in 1908 against the innocent Africans. That was a staging ground, a rehearsal for the Holocaust. The idea that Turkey did not commit genocide against the Armenians. It was just some kind of a military operation when innocent men, women, and children were marched along the railways from the Berlin to Baghdad railway and were summarily starved to death, beaten to death, raped to death, and bayoneted to death, and the babies were smashed against rocks and trees. This is the reality of what occurred. We could see cops and we could see cowboy and Indian movies where, you know, it's just the innocent wagon train going through and being attacked by the Indian, without mentioning the fact that the Indian was being uprooted time after time. There is so much that is false that we have to fight for facts. And that is a losing fight. We are losing the war of factual history. We are losing the war of insight into our past. And therefore, we are floundering as we attempt to define and sculpt our future, because we really can't see what has gone before. So that is my role. I'm continually trying to bring out in the clearest form what has actually occurred. I'm trying to separate the weeds from the trees in the forest so people can see the trees within within the forest. And while I'm doing it, a lot many more are not doing it, and it's a losing battle.
Well, they're,
as long
unfortunately,
as we're capable, we will continue trying.
Yeah,
thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for coming on.
Anytime. You're welcome back anytime. We've put your link to your books. It's edwinblack.com. There's a ton of information there, and I hope you are on the West Coast and we're able to hear you speak sometime.
Well, thank you very much. I hope to be on your show another time. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Holy cow.
There you go. There
so
you have
if,
it.
So if you didn't learn anything, you're an idiot.
Yeah, go to the site, read a book.
And if you don't have to go look up any of those guys, then you're an idiot too. Because I was like, the who? I remember the Philistines, but mostly we just joked about it. Like, don't be a Philistine. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I got to go back and look at what the Philistines were really doing.
Well, but if you go to his website, there's a whole list of all his books.
Oh my gosh, and there's a zillion of them.
Yeah, you can definitely get educated on what's led us to this point. What's got us here?
And if you're driving or doing something else or whatever, WeThePeopleRadio.us, our usual website for today's show. I've got all his stuff linked on there. And what was the other thing? Oh, there was an article that I read back in 2013 that caused me to ask him for an interview. I will find it and put it on there because I remember it was awesome. I just don't remember what it was about, and I couldn't find it this morning. So, that being said, we're shifting gears. We're going to take a break here that we should have taken a while ago, but we were afraid to take a break. We were afraid he'd ditch us. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming back with Lauren Price, and we're going to talk about veteran issues. You're going to love it. Well, actually, you're probably going to get mad, so pour some decaf and come back. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but they want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Paper Black Rifles.
If Mr. Black's books are paperback or hardback, but that's a good song. Good one. All right, so we just had an action-packed 30 minutes with Edwin Black.
Something I just share with you what he told me when he called in an hour early. He's like, if we're not able to do this today, he won't be available for like another year.
I know. Well, I'm telling you. At first,
and that's a tight schedule.
I seriously.
That's almost like mine.
Yeah. Bill at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Right. You'll get
that automated
piece,
reply.
I'm only here for another hour and 20 minutes.
Exactly.
All right? And then you're out of luck.
Get that reply that says, I'll get back to you next year. That's what I got when I wrote to the guy. Because you just have to send it through his website. And I was all,
But he promised us 15 and he gave us 30, so that's a win.
I know. Well, it's all fun and games until you take a break. So you were right. You were reading my mind. I knew if we took a break, he'd blow town. So that was awesome. So, all right, we're shifting over. All right, Lauren Price, and I've got to go back to the top of my page here, darn it. And, of course, my page isn't loading the way it should because I've got all sorts of little PDFs on here. You might want to refresh the page several times if you're listening to us live on Sunday. And, by the way, this show will air again Monday from 1 to 3 in Philadelphia, New Jersey on WNJC 1360. Because we're 1460 out here in California, Sundays from noon to 2. And hey, you know what? I would really like it if folks that are listening would send me some ideas for guests. If you have read something interesting, like I think Mr. Black's deal started with an article. Read some article. I probably got it off Twitter. Even though I don't think he likes Twitter.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell him that.
I think it might have been on Twitter.
You're just reinforcing your bad biases.
I was, too. What was it? It was Promethean. I thought that was kind of great. Flames can either help or hurt. So, anyway, and I found Lauren. I don't know how I found Lauren. How did I find Lauren? Lauren, how'd we meet? It was something about the Inspector General, huh?
It was about Oakland.
It was about Oakland, and it was like the Inspector General. Oh, I know. It was Rusty Ann Brown.
Yeah,
she knew you, and so you connected the news media to the deal in Oakland. So then you've been a terrific resource. Like, whenever we have veterans here locally that have an issue, I just had one last week. I forget what the thing was. And I was all, hey, Lauren might know about that.
The court-martial thing.
Yeah. It was a court-martial deal. You're right. So, let's see. People can find you. What I have on the website is veteranwarriors@yahoo.com.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Actually, the very best way is to email me.
Yeah. And then...
I go to my phone and...
Oh, that's perfect.
If I'm trying to have a normal life, I get it.
Yeah, but you live in Florida, so you don't really have all those bad weather things that the other guys are having. You're not like, you know, Minnesota. You're not snowed in or anything.
No, it's freezing right now. It's 65 degrees, and I got my heat on.
Oh, you poor little thing.
Yeah.
I think it's probably 50 here, so, you know, we can't gripe too hard either. I really like your focus. There are a lot of veteran groups out there, and I guess I really want to not miss this point, so I should say, oh, I'm thinking about it. Your focus, as I've posted, is to work with congressional leaders, Veterans Affairs Administration, and veterans to bring about necessary changes to the manner in which VA handles veterans affairs. And it goes on to say to realign, reorganize, and redistribute current resources and personnel throughout the Veterans Affairs to create efficiency, productivity, we're going to quote all those, quote, efficiency, quote, productivity, and increase the quality of care and benefits to veterans. A lot of groups deal with all sorts of other things. You are one of the few, actually, that deals with that.
Yeah, there's the only other one that I know of that is solely working towards active lobbying towards, they call it reform, we call it an overhaul, because... The Concerned Veterans for America, who we've worked with for almost 3 years now, their focus is almost exclusively about lobbying and policy, which is what we do. That's our primary goal, is about policy change and truly affecting change on how the VA functions. You know, they're the second largest budget in the government, and we want them to use it effectively. Rather than buying, you know, $7 million worth of art, we'd rather have them give that $7 million towards eradicating veteran homelessness or, you know, stop giving bonuses.
I was going to say, and needless to say, the bonuses are DOA.
Yeah, but they're not DOA, unfortunately.
I know.
Sadly,
but
they
on
are
your,
not.
On your list, they are DOA.
Oh, yeah. They're but that goes to union contracts, and the biggest thing we discovered was the primary issue is the union. And we have no wish, just so we're real clear. We don't want to remove the union from the equation. The unions have a purpose. I just think we know exactly where the break happened. We went back and did historical research and discovered that the current modus operandi for some of the major issues that the VA has, all of which surround money, including a story that was dropped today about why they wouldn't let a veteran go get care outside the VA, was because if that veteran leaves the VA system, that facility loses funding. So it all comes down to money. But taking those existing resources and that existing union contract and looking at it and seeing where the break is. We looked at it, and we found that the break happened in 2010 when they were negotiating what is the current contract right now. And it was renegotiated very much in the favor of the employees. So much so that it has now become, that was the kiss of death. That was the reason for the backlog. It was the reason for these monumental, massive bonuses. It was the reason why they move bad actors around from one facility to another. because those people have this union contract in place to protect them. So we don't want the union to go away, but we want true transparency.
But see, even
when I say transparent, but don't even read onion paper through it.
But management doesn't have a union, right? And so you have the folks
do.
That we've talked about so much, the senior executive service guys that are...
SESs are different. There's only about 400 SESs
right.
in all of the VA. And that's the biggest media false flag that's out there, is that the SESs are the problem. Don't get me wrong. They are. They are part of, and a major part of the problem, but there's only about 400 of them. And it does take an act of Congress to remove them. But going to my military life, I will tell you that when you have Navy chiefs, which is an E-7 to E-9, it takes an act of Congress to get rid of them, too. So it's just the way the things are written. The biggest problem is these middle managers. We've seen it time and time and time, and Aaron, you saw it in your work. We saw it with West Deanne. It's these middle managers. And most directors are not SESs. They are GS between 14 and 15s. They're the ones that we're after because they're the ones that are the most corrupt. And it's our problem is that we can make a new law, to cover this and that, and we call it the Band-Aid effect. And we've been Band-Aiding everything, and there's a hashtag, no Band-Aids for sucking chest wounds. Because that's what this is a giant fucking chest wound. And Congress only can make law. And there was a legislator that asked me during testimony one time, and I won't divulge who she was, but she asked me, she said, well, what do you expect us to do? She was very aggravated with me. She said, what exactly? She goes, all we can do is make law. So they make the law. Make the law to overhaul it. Complete overhaul like they did with the Internal Revenue back in the 80s. And it fixed the IRS. For 30 years, it fixed the IRS. But 30 years down the road, corruption does start to weed its way in. We are seeing now that POTUS and the administration that's currently in place have an agenda. And that agenda is contradictory to the actual mission of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And as I indicated to you, Aaron, one of the things I wanted to talk about was on the heels of an executive order that's come down about gun control.
And, right.
You know, the administration has this agenda about that. And people are like, well, you know, how does that affect a veteran? Well, because, you know, of course, if we're veterans, we should all be able to have a gun. No. The Department of Veterans Affairs, as far back as we can find, is 09. It's taking a very, very narrow law, tiny, tiny little narrow law, and which grants them the authority very specifically to deem someone incompetent to handle their financial affairs with what we call them, the kangaroo court, because they have this little panel. It's not even a judge or anything else. And what they're doing is they're interpreting it under Brady, when in fact it has nothing to do with Brady. And that law, and I'm going to quote it, 38 CFR, subsection 3, paragraph 353, grants limited authority to determine incompetence, but only in the context of financial matters. And the VA... And one of the things I sent you was actually a case we are still working on. In August of 2014, that veteran went to go buy a gun. He's never had a problem his entire life with buying a gun. He's never been arrested. He's never done anything wrong. He manages his own affairs.
And is that, Lauren, is that the first PDF I have up?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the letter he got when he went to buy the gun and was denied at the point of sale.
Okay, we have to take a really quick break before we go into that, but before we do, I need to double check, what is your website again?
The website's not functioning any longer. The best thing is just my email.
Okay. All right.
We're having some difficulties with that host.
No problem. I had pulled over the information from the last one, and I kept I was like, veteranwarriors1.com, why is it not working? Okay.
Yeah, it's not working.
So people stop banging your heads against your computer. It's not working. I'll take the link off.
It's really not you. It really is me.
Classic.
God, I've heard that so many times in my life.
poor Bill. We'll be right.
I can't get away from it.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Lauren Price from Veteran Warriors. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Welcome back. We're going to top off this hour, and we have Lauren as our hostage for the next hour, so we're not really cutting her off at the knees here with only 5 minutes to talk.
No, it's not going to be that easy. Can't get away that easy.
Nobody gets off that easy.
Well, Mr. Black did.
I was just going to say, Mr. Black got off it.
He did. He
was kind of abrupt about that.
Did you like the way... Yeah, it's really funny. I've obviously never talked to the guy before, but I just... had a feeling that he was going to basically say, well, great, that's your last question. See ya, bye. And that's exactly what he did.
I thought he was going to tell me to read the book.
Look, knucklehead, quit asking me a bunch of dopey questions. Well, it wasn't like we could prepare. We just found out like 2 hours ago. So, Lauren, just in case people, you know how people are. It's 5 minutes of news. They might get busy and do something else. We want them to come back because we want them to learn about this. So... Set it up. Set up where we're headed with this.
Well, the current administration just dropped a new executive order. You know, that pen never runs out of ink.
No.
That executive order is affecting every single American, you know, whether they're a veteran or not. And there are a lot of people that are very up in arms because constitutional rights are at stake. And there's a lot of question as to whether or not your constitutional rights are being violated, whether congressional laws are being violated under this, and there's a lot of discrepancies as to whether or not he's even allowed to do it. All that being said, I'm not a constitutional scholar. All I know is that they started this process back in 2009 with veterans, because what they did was, they decided that any veteran who could not handle his own financial affairs, and whether that was for mental or physical reasons, one case I found, which actually was in that feed that you dropped on your website, the veteran actually is physically disabled. His wife has to pay the bills.
He's blind, right?
I'm sorry?
Is he blind? He's blind? Or she?
He's blind. He's got a bunch of issues, major health issues. He's in a wheelchair and all these other things.
So they're not mental. They're not an axe murderer. I mean,
yeah, no, he's not even under treatment for PTSD.
I wasn't going to go
and,
there.
Yeah, because he was found incompetent by the VA, which is only a panel. It's not a doctor. Not due process. You know, don't due process right out the window. Because in every state in the country, it is required that a court of law declare you incompetent. The VA has taken that 12 steps deeper, and they have a panel that will sit, and it's usually people within your medical facility, decide whether or not you're competent to handle your own financial affairs. And their fiduciary system, which is what they've set up to manage that, is the most corrupt and most broken of all their systems. Fraught with criminals and felons and all these things. But yet they turn around, and even if you're just physically disabled, you know, say you lost both hands, you can't write checks, whatever, you end up on the FBI's list to be banned from having a gun. And their contention, and I'm actually from one of the stories that I found, from March of 13, the VA was quoted as that they it's their policy to inform veterans of their rights under the Brady Act. Well, yes and no. Brady Act has nothing to do with this. If the veteran wasn't deemed mentally incompetent by a court of law, they have no reason to be adjudicated under Brady. Yet, the VA has been doing this. Not just a little bit. And the ironic part is there is a very large organization out there. This organization is called the United States Justice Foundation.
Yes, Michael Connelly.
Yes, Michael Connelly. God bless him. This is almost 3 years ago, almost to the day.
Sorry, I have to go Edwin Black on you. We have to come back after the news. They force us to let people hear the news. Come back with us. We're going to chat with Lawrence more. There's a lot of good information here. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be right back.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are rejoining the second hour of We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan
and Bill Cundiff
and Bob Martin.
We did that twice today.
We're like a well-oiled machine.
Kind of. We oil better the second hour than we do the first hour.
True.
Things always happen the first hour. I don't know what the deal is with that. So let's see. Today, if you missed it, we had 30 minutes at the top of the hour with author Edwin Black. That was fun. And we are spending the balance of the show with Lauren Price, sort of a mumbler there, from Veteran Warriors. She is out of Florida and a great resource for you if you're a veteran, maybe a family member who's having an issue, and all of her contact information is right there on the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. And she's a regular go-to for me on veteran issues and questions, but we're tackling the ever-popular topic today of gun rights, because the government was going after our veterans for their gun rights long before they were going after the rest of us. And let's see, we did a program, Lauren. Did you happen to ever notice that? We did a program with Michael Connelly from the U.S. Justice Foundation.
I was looking for it today, and I wasn't playing nice with my computer.
No sweat. I will find it, and we'll put that forward. Tell people, you've worked with them, and we've talked to them for a couple hours, but you've worked with them a whole bunch. Let people know what he has available in case they are having this issue.
Well, the biggest thing is, I will tell you that their organization, for free, pro bono, will represent people in specific about this particular issue, veterans who have received that lovely letter from the Department of Veterans Affairs that says, we think you're mentally incompetent, and we've decided that of our own volition, and because of that, you can't buy a gun. And we are telling the FBI that. If you get that letter, unless you have been institutionalized or deemed by a federal judge that you're incompetent, you need to talk to Mr. Connelly's office. Because the VA, and I'm quoting Mr. Connelly here, the VA says, or Connelly says, the VA has no clear criteria for the VA to declare a veteran incompetent. And they don't. Because part of their criteria includes whether or not they can handle, and I mean literally, handle their own finances. If you can't write a check or call up and pay a bill because you've lost your hands in combat or you have crippling arthritis, they consider that incompetent. And
wow.
In spite of, yes, and that falls into their criteria because there is no written criteria as to competency. So if you are one of those people that physically can't pay your bills and your wife or spouse or kid does it for you, you fall under that category. And believe it or not, right now, the most recent numbers I found were as of April of 15, 99% of the people included in the NCIS database, or the NCIC database, which is where gun sellers and law enforcement look, 99% of them are veterans. So, because the VA monthly gives that information to them, even though they don't screen it at all, and we know how great, you know, the...
Well, yeah, they mark people dead all the time, and, you know, who are still alive, and...
Or you're not dead, and, you know, they claim you're not dead, and they keep sending money, and then they say, well, you know...
Well, there's that, too.
Oversight. Yeah. So, in spite of the fact that they have the ability to reach out, because now, according to the White House, there's actually... cracking up because the VA claims it can't fix their computer systems to fix these problems. There is actually a federal agency who is going to help the ATF fix theirs.
Oh, for Lord's sake.
You know, so if they can get it done post-haste, according to the White House, I don't understand why the VA can't get it done.
Exactly.
Now, the big issue now is that 99% of the people contained in this database who are declared incompetent through no criteria and no court of law are veterans. And what that essentially means is, and Mr. Connolly said, and it was almost exactly 3 years ago now, he said, what's next?
Sure.
Is it going to be those of people on Social Security?
Did you want to go on?
I'm going to, we have to ask who will be next. If you're receiving Social Security check, will you get one of these letters? According to the press release from the White House, the Social Security Administration has indicated that it will begin rulemaking process to include information in the background check system about beneficiaries who are prohibited from possessing a firearm for mental health reasons.
Wow.
3 years ago, Michael Connolly called it.
And we had him on September 27th, so it's just been a few months ago. And I added that. I just added that to the page for folks if they want a link to that.
Yeah, I'm sure his vein in his head probably just about popped out when he read this. It's our issue is that the VA can't literally get it, find its way out of a wet paper bag. Their leadership, every single time something's wrong, they say, you know, the other day, my regional office here, St. Petersburg, Florida, the largest regional office in the country, we handle the most amount of claims in the country, got caught in an unannounced OIG investigation. What they walked in and found 41,000 packages of mail. In a back room, you know, like an Oakland thing. And then they went to the processing facility where they were supposed to be scanning everything into this new high-speed system that doesn't work, and they found even worse there. But they claim every day that, you know, center of excellence and, you know, how they're, you know, they can't tell their success stories, none of which are real. They're delusional.
Well, I always like
that's unbelievable.
I like the part about once they have these terrible problems, once they pay, like in Oakland, they paid the employees to clean up the 13,184. How did I like lose that number? The people who were paid to, you know, whose job was to go figure that out, these were claims that dated back into the 90s that had been ignored, informal claims. They paid them each a $300 bonus. So, I mean, nobody's going to, you know, jump through a flaming ring of fire for $300, but are you kidding me? What is that?
No, it pretty much is a flaming ring of fire.
Well, the thing that's weird is that would be like giving your kid double their allowance if they didn't clean their room for 2 weeks so it was really super messy. So because it was super messy, you were going to give them more allowance. Not that I ever gave my kids allowance to start with, but, you know, you get the idea.
And I can't tell you, right now, one of our own congressmen here, I've actually asked for a meeting at his office, but I've asked my congressman, who's the vice chairman, Scott Spilarakis, he's the vice chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, I've asked him to meet up, that the two of us go meet with this freshman congressman, David Jolly, because he publicly came out and said 10 days ago or so that the VA is underfunded.
Ah, God.
I wanted to drive to Tampa and knock on his door and smack him upside the head.
That's such a nice thing. I wasn't thinking about doing that. I was thinking of something that would probably infringe upon my rights.
I just couldn't believe that anyone can still say this at this point, because they get more and more and more money every year.
Is he a Democrat?
And it's always in excess of their original budget, never mind the emergency funding. And yet they turn around, not a single criminal prosecution. The only criminal prosecutions that have happened have been solely those conducted by state authorities, like the guy that just got arrested for raping inpatients. Why is a guy working on female inpatient ward? But
well, the thing is, even if it's a crime, even if it goes to the police, you know what I mean? Even if it goes through this whole system, nothing happens to them. Look at the Inspector General, the head of the Inspector General's office, John Wooditch. And just in case you didn't happen to see that come out in the Daily Caller right before Christmas, and actually I was confused why it came out again, because he's been gone for 7 years. But here's a guy who is, you know, masturbating in full view of the public repeatedly, like day after day after day, in front of a teacher's conference and all this stuff.
I was afraid you were going to go there.
I was going to use the M-word. Ugh. Yeah, I used the M-word.
You knew one of us was.
Somebody was going to use the M-word. But this guy, I mean, what the heck? And everyone knew it. His neighbors turned him into the police. He's retired on the taxpayer's dime.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. This is my pet peeve. My pet peeve is... I actually, when we first started our organization, I used to print off every news story.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to show, because I really did have to convince legislators. You have no idea. I got screamed out of Tim Bishop's office. Mm. He screamed in my face and threw me out of his office because of the horrible things I was saying about the VA. He's no longer in Congress. I don't care. When we first went there, we really did have to convince people that it was broken. And so I was printing them all off, and now I can't even keep up. It's impossible. Thank God for Dropbox. It's impossible to keep up with the level of corruption and the level of incompetence and malfeasance that goes on every single day.
Yeah, it's mind-bending. We've got to take a real quick break. We're going to come back and...
She was a former VA physician.
Guess we're not.
And we mark my words there, and I'm about to break another story out of New York. Another wait list. Another type of wait list.
Oh, no.
It's just going to be really ugly. And the funny part is, it'll never end.
Well, that's the thing. It's like so many things. You can never turn away and just figure that it's all fine and it's all fixed. We're going to have to be on this forever, but boy, right now it just appears to be a never-ending treasure trove of just, you know, behavior, malfeasance, I don't know.
Misconduct.
Pick a word, laziness.
Yeah, and the depravity is unlimited. The things that come across my desk... I have a whistleblower out of Miami. I won't tell you what his job is because then he'd be identified.
Because then he wouldn't be a whistleblower anymore?
Well, he is a whistleblower, but he was fired immediately after reporting this. He didn't even have an opportunity to file for whistleblower status because as soon as he reported it to the director, he got fired like within a week. But he hasn't gone public but to the media yet. So this guy reported that he... In his position, he was required to report it. He caught employees drug dealing, rampantly drug dealing out of the Miami medical facility. And not just dealing street drugs, but dealing stuff that they were stealing from patients, they were stealing from the pharmacy, and he reported it, and he wrote it all up, and a week later he got fired.
Imagine that.
And he's like, oh my God, please help me. I'm like, first and foremost, I can't help you get your job back. And first and secondly, do you want to go back there? Until we get them cleaned out, do you want to go back? And I want my job back. Oh, I understand that. But this is what you're going to go back to.
Yeah.
And I introduced him to some other whistleblowers who'd already gone through the fire. And, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. So we're not encouraging them to blow the whistle. We're not encouraging them to do the right thing. because they're tormented and tortured and their careers are ruined and
their lives
are ruined.
You lose the good guys on the inside that you need to actually fix the problem. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes and continue this thread because Lord knows there's more there. I hope you go to the website. There's a lot of really good information, good links for you, too. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We'll be right back with Lauren Price at Veteran Warriors.
Give a damn's busted. I don't want anybody else, but I think it's about you, and that's why I said, I don't want anybody else. Oh no, oh no, oh no.
You're the one. Bill missed the tagline. Remember that song?
No.
Tell him, Bob. Don't make me do it twice.
It had to do with the topic in the previous segment.
Nice. That was very cryptic.
Yeah. Yeah, just go there. Just go there because, you know, I start to squirm when you go there.
So does Carl. He's home listening. Oh, my God. FCC violation. Yeah.
Don't say the M-word again, please.
Yeah, I won't say the M-word again, but honestly... and you can't make these names up. The guy's name is John Wooditch, Wooditch. What the heck? It's a little bit like Anthony Weiner. The family could have just changed the name and saved the guy at the
grave. He was born to be wild.
He was born to be wild.
He was born to be a YouTube.
He was born to go public. God, what an idiot. I like the part about how they turned in the investigation to him because he was the boss of the Inspector General's office, and then he gave it to an investigator so that they could investigate it, and then it came back to him, and he said, well, geez, I don't remember doing that. It's like,
well, there you go. That's the end of the investigation. He doesn't remember it.
I mean, seriously?
He didn't do it.
Let's claim insanity.
Yeah.
So we have
he got educated at the VA School of Investigation, the OIG's office.
Exactly, the VA School of Ridiculousness.
That's exactly how they work at the OIG.
So, Lauren, we have a caller online for you who has a question of some sort.
And who needs to turn his radio down.
Oh.
I just did.
Hey, well, you're all over it.
You're on.
So fire away.
Okay, so recently, now I went to see an outside doctor, not a VA doctor, and the results got sent back to my VA doctor, and then he prescribed a very strong anti-seizure medication that is also used for peripheral nerve pain and diabetic nerve pain, and he prescribed a huge, huge dose. But it turns out the side effects of this particular drug, let's argue, would make you incompetent for owning a gun. Is the VA using prescriptions for neurological diseases as a reason for denying gun rights?
I will tell you, sir, the case that we have, actually the two documents that are up there on Aaron's page, or on the station's website, that case, that gentleman was under medical treatment. And the doctor that prescribed his medication, who's now been fired, he by himself, without anyone inside the VA facility, took it upon himself to send the record of this veteran to the FBI.
Mm.
He told the FBI that there's a process, a very easy process, as we've discovered, for the doctor to report this veteran as incompetent. That when we got involved a year and a half ago, we discovered that every single mention of that doctor has been stripped from that veteran's record. The doctor's been fired, and every mention's been is gone. So the VA, of course, claims they don't have any record of this. This is the problem. It's irrelevant. Why? We have, there's a case right now, one of the links that Aaron posted is a story about a veteran who was physically disabled. Some bean counter at the VA deemed him financially incompetent, and that record was sent to the FBI. And I will tell you, it's taken us all, we've been working this case for over a year and a half, and I still have not received confirmation from the FBI that he's been removed from the database, even though we sent them a letter from the VA in November saying that they deem him now competent. So
yeah,
60 days later, I still can't confirm with the FBI that they've cleared him.
And this
so
is why...
So I cannot tell you that a specific drug, what I will tell you is this. If that drug makes has any side effects or leaves you in an incapacitated state in any way, seizures, right there. That's a number one on their hip parade.
Well,
seizures,
this
any mental damage, brain damage, that's up there on the top of their list.
This particular drug is gabapentin, and he prescribed a 2,400 milligram per day dose for me, which is way over the top. But he prescribed it without even consulting with me, talking to me. It just suddenly came in the mail. And
did the VA doc prescribe that?
I'm sorry?
Did the VA doc prescribe that to you?
Yes, he did. Without ever,
consulting
with me.
Yeah, see, that's a toughie because if they just send it to you, you can't even say no. I don't want it.
Yeah, you can.
Well, that's it.
I recommend
I talked to the pharmacy and told them I wanted to return it. They won't take it back because it's not a sealed bottle, so I get to pay for it.
Don't take it back. If you want to dispose of it legally, most of your police departments will allow you to turn in a med. You just scrape the labels. Or black out your own information off of it. I will tell you this. That dosage of gabapentin, I would contact that civilian doctor you saw.
Yeah.
And ask him what his recommendation would be for what, if any, prescription you should be on. Because we already know that there are some severe issues with regard to prescriptions and toxic dosages, toxic cocktails that they're prescribing within the VA system. We know this is a fact.
Well, here's my issue. I don't even want it on my medical records that it's been prescribed. I'm seeing two outside physicians. One had mentioned the drug, but he says, I don't want to start you on that until it's a last resort. Let's try some topical medicine to help with the pain. Let's try some vitamins. Let's try some rather benign treatments. But suddenly here I'm given, as you say, a toxic dose of a very potent drug, and it's on my VA record. And if I'm not mistaken, that is one of the drugs that California says if you're taking, you can't drive, you can't own a gun.
Well, because it's not just a seizure medicine, because people have seizures for a variety of reasons, but it's an anti-epileptic drug.
No.
And because it absolutely, it basically deadens your nerve endings, driving is actually a serious issue with that. And you can take... You can go to the Release of Information office and petition to have that removed as long as you can prove you're not on it. And you would need that from that civilian doctor. I would strongly recommend meeting with that civilian doctor again to get a recommendation of dosages.
Well, the civilian doctor doesn't want me on it. It's the VA doctor that prescribed it without ever seeing me or consulting with me.
I guess that's what I'm trying to allude to, is that he doesn't even want you on it. So
yeah.
His documentation of this is, you know, hey, I didn't even think that this was a necessary protocol, never mind at this dosage.
Okay. Well, we can do that, and then take that to the VA and say, scrub this from my record, here's your damn drugs back, right?
Yes, and here's, I'm just doing some quick Google searches here, and I can tell you everything I'm coming up with is saying that that dosage is extreme, and...
It'll make me an idiot.
Well, yeah, you'll be a window
licker.
Sarah
knows me, and she'll say that's already the case.
Hey,
however,
well, no, I was going to pipe in this trigeminal neuralgia stuff I have that gives me these wicked headaches. They said, well, we want to try this seizure medication. I was like, well, okay, I don't know anything about that. I took that stuff, and within 2 days, I only took it for a week. I could not remember anyone's name. Even if I was looking at them, and I couldn't remember, like, all my proper nouns, like places, people, and, you know, after I quit...
Your executive center was being rotted.
It was crazy! And then, like, 2 days after I quit taking it, it all came back. Where was it?
Yeah.
It was like it was like Ernestine the Operator, like, pulled one of my switchboard deals.
I promise you that everything I'm reading this very basic... And I'm, you know, I did a 5-second Google search of saying that, you know, holy crap, 2,400 milligrams of gabapentin a day.
You're going to be a moron.
You're going to be a window licker real quick.
You won't be going back for another appointment.
No window licker. Bob, do you have a song for that?
You know,
I don't think I do.
That would justify them taking your gun right, sir.
Yeah, because you're a window licker.
If you're on this drug, you won't be competent. I promise you won't even be able to testify at that stupid kangaroo court they have. You wouldn't be able to.
Well, I know that, and that's what scares me, is that if this gets to the California DOJ, I'm toast.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
and here's
forget the FBI.
My suggestion is consult with the civilian providers about their recommendations and go back to whoever it was that prescribed this, and if you need to, go through the patient advocate's office. If this doctor won't remove it and say, I'm not going to take it because it's not recommended and it's such a high dosage, it's not necessary. Here's
right.
Two other doctors' recommendations. You need to remove this. Because
but you're basically saying, yes, the VA is you're saying that the VA is medicating people and then using that medication to deny them their Second Amendment rights, correct?
Oh, they're using medication? They're using physical disabilities. They're using everything way beyond the scope of the very narrow law that they're allowed to use. They're using Brady Act, and they're not even allowed to use Brady for competency purposes. Because people that are under treatment for mental health are not automatically disqualified from owning weapons. There are some very specifics in the Brady Law. And just because people have... I have veterans that have PTSD from serious intense combat in Vietnam, but they don't qualify at all under Brady. But the VA thinks and is behaving as if they're going to use Brady, when in fact the law that they have only allows them to discuss competency about financial matters. If you are taking your VA benefit check and you're playing lotto and buying strippers with it, they might step in. That's the extent of their authorization. Which, if they met, you know, 80% of the young guys that I know, these vets, they might want to look at it. But you know, that's what it comes down to. They are allowed to look at your financial capabilities. If you're able to pay your bills or make sure that your bills are paid in our household, I pay the bills. The case that I have up there on Aaron's website is actually the wife pays the bills because the husband physically can't. They deemed him incompetent.
Bill doesn't pay the bills.
Uh-oh, Bill.
Hey,
yeah, but I build one hell of a barricade.
Hey. and Lauren, not
I'm going to go.
Okay, bye. Thanks,
thanks
for calling.
Guys.
Okay, so not to out our anonymous caller, but the only strippers up in his neck of the woods are Yeti hookers, I think, that I saw on the Enquirer one time leaning into Ted Kennedy's car.
Nice.
Man, that's a picture I should try to find and put on the website. That was hilarious.
Oh, please don't. Please don't.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I think of it. Well,
oh,
must,
my God.
Might be the clientele at my grocery store. We need to take a really quick break. And Bob will get some more fun music for us. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for reminding me that we're all on this magic carpet ride.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Lauren, you were talking earlier about the case trying to get this vet off the list. Just recently, they tried to pass a law that if you were a terrorist, if you were on a terrorist watch list, you couldn't buy a gun, and a lot of people were outraged at that because it didn't pass, but this is just another classic example of why it didn't pass. You can get on one of these government watch lists just because some bureaucrat wants to put you on the list, and it can take months, if not years, to get off that list. And
because it has nothing to do with the law.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it's just somebody that thinks you should be on it, or it could be just a malicious thing where they just want to mess with somebody and put them on a list and let them fight it out. It happens all the time. I mean, it happened to our sheriff up in Siskiyou County. He got on a list, and he couldn't buy a gun. So it can happen to anybody. And, you know, passing these laws is not the answer.
Yeah, legislation, I'm a firm believer that more legislation may not necessarily cure what the ails are. We have the laws that govern VA, which are Title 38, never mind all the policies and BS that go along with it. Title 38, if you actually printed it all, it would probably be about 10 feet tall. Just on regular 8.5 by 11. We don't need more laws. We need to enforce existing ones. And the problem we have is that the VA, every federal agency, just so we're clear, the VA, I'm not going to target the VA about they're the only ones doing this. The VA has taken a tiny little law. Basically, it's about two lines. They get the authority to deem someone incompetent for financial purposes. That every single federal agency has. If you're getting money from Department of Agriculture, they could do the same thing. But the VA took it, and they've actually turned around and said, well, we're complying with Brady. Well, that's not the law that gives you the authority to do that, you jackwagon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. The problem is that Congress can only make law. They cannot enforce law. So the only people that actually can enforce law is POTUS. He can direct the Department of Justice to step in and enforce laws. That's their job. They're the nation cops. And when Department of Justice won't do it, as we've seen already with the VA as of last week, will not criminally prosecute any VA employee, that's the issue.
Yeah, for anything.
The issue is the administration will not enforce existing laws because it will make them look bad.
Yeah. And hey, talk about Brady. Sounds like you've read it more recently than most of us. What does that actually say in real life, and why doesn't it apply?
Well, because it talks about mental defects. And in the United States, we have a thing about due process, and I know you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Due process means you have to go to court. You have to be adjudicated mentally incompetent by a court of law. Those words, court of law. A judge has to hear from at least three psychiatrists to determine that you're batshit crazy. Excuse me, sorry. The FCC violation. When those three testify and the judge says you're incompetent, usually you get locked up somewhere. Well, unfortunately, the VA doesn't use a court. And the one caveat I'll give the DOJ is that they do use the court because that's where they do their business. The VA abhors going to court. They don't want to go to court because they don't want their cases thrown out. And Brady says you have to be deemed by a court of law mentally incompetent. And not about balancing your checkbook. You have to be deemed mentally incompetent to be in the civilian world.
And that's the step they're skipping. Because they're not, you're not...
You know, we've figured out that you're crazy and you wear a tinfoil hat. You need to go away somewhere to protect yourself and others. And since the VA can't prove that, that's why they won't take a veteran to court.
But while their, whatever we call it, their designation, their little unlawful designation is pending, it can still jam up their gun rights. And it takes a while to get that sorted out, doesn't it?
It does. And that's the issue, is mental incompetence, I mean, in the criminal side is different than the civilian side. Okay. Criminal side is, you know, people think of mental defects. They see, you know, Law and Order and stuff, and they think of somebody that shot someone in the heat of passion.
Or licking windows, yeah, like you said before.
Yeah. The difference is the legal standard for mental incompetence is it's a preponderance of evidence, which is truly how do they handle their financial affairs? How do they handle their social affairs? There are a multitude of battery of tests that have to be done, a thing called a psychosocial. That's a very extensive exam that has to be done by a licensed psychiatrist. And if you're trying to prove someone incompetent, here in the state of Florida, we have what's called the Baker Act. And under Baker Act, they have to be two competent adults who have firsthand knowledge of your actions and a licensed psychiatrist.
Mm.
In other words, two of your family members can say you're crazy, but if the shrink says you're fine, that you just hate them, you're not going to get locked up. So the problem is that the Department of Veterans Affairs refuses to acknowledge what real competence looks like, and they love to tell everybody that those of us that suffer from PTSD are mentally incompetent. I assure you, I'm very far from mentally incompetent. I just don't like people. So, and I don't like thunderstorms and a few other things, but it doesn't make me mentally incompetent.
Sure. Yeah, you're not like our dog, are you? You don't hide behind the toilet during the thunderstorm, do you?
Yeah, actually I do.
But that's
actually
totally
different. And one of my dogs actually hides in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. What is it about the bathroom? You like hide behind the toilet? It's like that's not where I want to die, but okay. But it's a dog, so I guess.
Well, because I'm too big to get under the bed.
There you go. Well, it is interesting because I've had more than one person actually whose wife pays the bills, and I don't even know how they know that. What they do, tell them on a quiz or something that their wife pays.
No, they ask you, and most veterans are actually really honest.
Yeah, and they
and
actually
the
tell
them. Study proved that less than 0.1% of veterans who file claims are dishonest. Less than 0.1%.
Yeah, because I had a guy who couldn't get his back pay because his wife pays the bills, and it's like, what does that have to do with anything?
But, it has to do with they don't deem him competent.
Right, right. And then the first time I heard it, I thought...
I think that's pretty smart myself. I don't know.
Well, it just depends on your marriage.
Well, no, to get your wife to pay the bills.
Heck yeah.
I was going to say, or for the government to withhold
the
money.
Yeah, you don't have any money in there? Figure it out, honey. You're smart. Come on, you can do her. Get her done.
We changed the password, but other than that, you're screwed.
Well, and that's the big issue. Is they don't, like Mr. Connolly had actually submitted a FOIA to them back, and I'm curious if he ever got an answer, because it takes years to get a FOIA response from VA. He FOIA'd them and asked them, for those people who don't know, FOIA is Freedom of Information Act. He submitted a request under that act asking them for what their criteria was. And at the article's printing, they didn't have an answer yet. I'm curious if he ever got one, because I have looked, and I can dig down into some deep cellars, and I've never found their criteria. I looked for this case that we're handling for this veteran. We've worked on other cases. I've never found this criteria that they use to deem people incompetent, because in this veteran's case, they actually, one of the things that they cited in a current interview that I had forced them to do was that he'd actually been a victim of identity theft. And, well, you have all these things out there, these charges, and he's like, here's the police report, here's the, you know, state police, everybody was involved, the guy got arrested, here's everything, da, da, da. Well, you allowed this to happen. Are you forking kidding me? One in two people are going to be a victim of identity theft in this world, every day. And you're going to use that as a reason. None of these things make any sense. And when we try to talk to them, they're well known. They circle the wagons. Because they don't want the truth to come out, that what they're doing is arbitrary.
Yes.
It's insulting. And it's a violation of someone's civil rights.
Well, you know, I guess... Bob, do we have another break we have to fit in?
We do.
Okay, let's do that. But when we come back, hey Lauren, do you know anything about the mandatory vaccine thing that they're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that when we come back, because that's another. I'm like, what the heck? You know, it's like let's put a little target on all of our veterans and let's figure out how many stuff how many things we can shoot at them. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be right back. And if you're not in the chat room, you're missing it. Just in case people are listening live on Sunday afternoon. Kind of fun today. You're listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy.
John Wood is probably.
But maybe showers remind me of psycho humor. That's why I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no privacy.
Oh. Somebody was watching him.
I tell you what, yeah, many thanks, Lauren. We had a little guest situation yesterday, and I was like, hey, I'm going to call Lauren. We were chatting on email, and I said, hey, we should do a show sometime. It's like, hey, how about tomorrow? Today turned out.
You know me, I was laying in bed, and I'm like, I got this text, I'm like, I want to see Lauren now.
Yeah, because it was like, 9:30 at night your time? I'm like, Lauren.
Yeah, I can do this. I'm good.
That's so much fun. So thanks a lot for that. I figure we'll run out of time and have to just, you know, say, you'll have to go the Edwin Black, see ya, you know. So I want to make sure we get that out early.
Before I get cut off, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime. This is like our favorite topic. And, okay, so what about the vaccine situation? You sent me a link that I will post.
Yeah, I just posted it up. Here's the deal. I'm the first one to say that I think that there are people coming after my guns and trying to take away my civil rights and stuff. But I stop at the tinfoil hat thing. Congress, specifically the Senate, passed a bill. The problem is the VA wasn't giving vaccines. They didn't actually, even though they have bucket loads of money, they weren't giving the vaccines that people would ask for. Flu shots, pneumonia vaccines, shingles shots, things like this. And veterans were being forced to go out to the most common ones are known as Walgreens and CVS would offer them at their, you know, shot clinics. And especially older veterans who have health issues and depleted immune systems really do need those. And if they're living on a fixed income, even an extra $20 is a big deal to them. So Congress enacted legislation, it happened in the Senate in November, that they basically ordered the VA to stop jerking people around and use existing resources to allow, to give veterans voluntarily, there's no mandatory shots.
Okay, that was the part that, and I never followed up because it was Dean Heller out of Nevada, and I was like, wait a minute. Dean Heller's a good guy. What the heck is with the vaccine thing?
Yeah, well, the thing spun out of control like crazy.
Okay.
And in literally in a matter of 48 hours, it turned into, you know, the Senate had passed this legislation, and it was going to happen, definitely. And in 48 hours later, it was, you know, mandatory vaccinations. They're going to hold veterans down and make them take shots and all this. I was like, wow, that went out quick.
Yeah, okay, that's why
We only do that to our school children.
Well, see, because, yeah, they passed a
Yeah, we do that to our kids. We don't do it to our old people.
Well, they passed that here in California that that vaccines, you can no longer opt out for, because you're their parents, or religion or, you know, anything like that. And so then the veteran thing came along and people kind of panicked. So it might have been California people that sort of.
Well, yeah, it might have been some tinfoil hat people out there, but I will tell you, I'm a proponent of vaccines. I actually have a neighbor, child was born and raised here in Florida. Dad was killed in action over in Iraq, actually. And the little girl lives with the grandparents now, and she came home and was real sick, and grandpa told me one day, the kid has whooping cough. Even though she was vaccinated as a child, she has whooping cough because her booster vaccines are out of date, and she got it from, we have a high percentage of illegals here in the school district.
Mm.
And they're not vaccinated. My granddaughter and grandkids have to show shot records to get into school, but they didn't. So this kid and it turned out 9 others just in this school all got whooping cough. And so the whole thing about mandatory vaccinations, no, we're not, veterans aren't going to be held down. What they did was they actually told the VA, you will give veterans vaccines on, I don't know, World Health Organization or the CDC's recommendation.
If they want, them, they're not going to make them.
No, nobody's getting made. Nobody's going to be forced.
Great.
It basically, what happened is, though, the problem is that the veterans are being told they can't get them.
Yeah, okay, so that, see, that was the part we never got.
Let me know.
Okay, well, that's cool, because that's the part we never got, so that made sense. Hey, so apparently we're out of time. Bob, bad news Bob. He's like, gotta take a break, we're out of time, Bill, you're awfully quiet over there. Bill's been typing.
I keep getting grief in the chat.
He was
not being a 3-hour show, and I just nothing I can do about that.
We got to take a 6-day break.
We got to take a 6-day break. We'll be back. So thanks a million, Lauren. Keep up the good work.
We will talk
to you again soon. Keep us posted on all the current stuff.
Thank you, Lauren.
Have a great evening.
All right, you too.
Have a great evening. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week. I believe we're talking to Patrick Jones about guns, gun laws, stuff like that. I think you're going to like it. So yep. We'll see you then.
Load them up.
WeThePeopleRadio.us.